the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 98 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. The football weekend awaits. Let's start yapping about it. As always, with the man seated to my immediate right from NFL.com. You see him on NFL Fantasy Live all the time. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. What a pleasure to see you once again.
Big day.
Why?
I just feel that, and I get this a lot on Twitter, is that now that we're both on the Wednesday and Thursday NFL Fantasy Live shows again, together.
Uh-huh.
Everybody likes that.
Well, you know what I don't like? When I see, when I walk by a TV here at the NFL Network and I see myself on it, there's something I can't, you know, I can't lie to the man in the mirror. I have to be honest, and Rank, I thank you for your honesty. Everybody else says, no, no, Dave, it's not true. That's not helping me. What am I talking about? Talking about the return of the pie face. I slimmed up so nice in the summer, you know? Just a little bit of running on the treadle, you know, making a few miles here and there when I could. Eating right, maybe replacing a beer with a red wine.
Is that good? Is it good to replace beer with red wine, or would it be better to go hard alcohol?
What do I? I don't know. Listen, what's I don't know what's right, but I do know this. What's wrong? And that's Dave Dameshek's returning pie face. I don't want that. I got the Travolta syndrome, as I say. Not the bad hair, although that ain't as good as it used to be. But the Travolta, and Ted Kennedy had it. Ben Roethlisberger has it. Jay Cutler has it. The first 15 pounds that you gain, some people that I gain at least, they go straight into my head. You know, I get a big melon head, you know,
oh, man,
it's a shame. So I'm not happy about that. But all right, let's not lament my personal situation when we have so much football to discuss. A good show for you coming up here. Number 98 shall be. I'm calling it now because we have Matt Forte of their on their bye Chicago Bears first place. We're going to hear a little bit. You spoke of the NFL Fantasy Live show, Rank. We spoke this morning with Golden Tate. Now, he was involved. I remember his name stands out to me because he was involved in a play, right? That was replayed a little bit.
Right.
And he also, it's interesting because we were talking fantasy with him. He is an actual NFL football player playing NFL fantasy football. Mm-hmm. You always hear, there are a lot of baseball players I know that do fantasy football. And I know there are football players that do baseball and so on. An emerging thing is that players are actually playing in the sport or playing fantasy in the sport that paid to play. And so that was kind of a fun conversation, the psychology of that. I don't want to ruin it. You'll listen for that. And then also our new feature here that we like to do on our second podcast each week, the Debate Club, the Around the League Debate Club with our two chums, the Scribes from Around the League, Dan Hanzus and Mr. Fancy Pants, Mark Sessler. So that's coming up as well for you. Also, I have to make my picks. I want to do them as fast as we possibly can. And then what do you say? Well, how do we do the show here today, Rank?
Okay.
Do I make my picks right now?
Let's do it now.
Make my picks, and then we're also, you just 2 minutes ago tweeted out. Let's take some tweet questions, right?
Yep.
All right, so first let me make my picks. Black tie behind the glass. What's the poop, fella?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
All right. You almost seemed happy there, the way you said that. You almost seemed like you're in a good mood, Black Tie.
I'm getting better. It's almost the weekend here, so I'm feeling good.
I know. Poor you. It's so tough having to talk and work on pro football all week. It's a grind, fella. It's a grind.
Speaking of jobs, though, I've got a shout-out.
Oh, it's time for the shout-out.
I have a shout-out. Well, this goes back to the saying that finding a job is a job in itself. So my shout-out today is going out to those who were jobless.
Shout-out are jobless people.
Yes, it's a job in itself to find a job. Hey, all the people out there looking for a job, they know how hard it is right now just trying to get a job.
I like that. Black Tie does not equal Mitt Romney. He says, I care about the 47%. I like that. Good for you. All right, so Black Tie, real quick before we press on, I do have to at NFL.com/pick'em. I think that's how you get to that. Yeah, NFL.com/pick'em. Rank makes his picks. I make mine. A lot of people here at NFL do the same thing, and you can check those out. And, by the way, programming note at NFL.com, The new Sheck to the Future is up there. Mm-hmm. Rank and I are 23-7 on the season. Where's our due, Black Tie? When's the parade already? No one can touch that mark. What the hell was that for? Who's the blaster for?
I don't know. You guys.
What do you mean, you guys?
Wait. Ask him. Do you even know what segment we do, our pick'em thing is? Do you even know what that is?
Sheck to the Future? I watched
that.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Honestly,
I would have lost. I would have lost.
You guys, I don't keep up. I watch Shame Report. I watch Sheck to the Future.
Yeah.
Keep up with the podcast. I watch the Fantasy Live show every day, every weekday.
Do you watch my Madden ratings update?
Well, considering I produced that, yes, I do. Do you watch?
Oh, you're pulling back. Are you pulling back the curtain that much?
Well, okay. Yeah. By that standard, we shouldn't be surprised if you don't watch that segment. You don't listen to this podcast, so why would we expect you to watch something that you're producing? Let's blow through our picks here to pull back the curtain. As Rank just said, we're recording on Thursday afternoon. It's about 45 minutes away from the kickoff of the Thursday night special on the NFL Network. Steelers at Titans. I am taking the Steelers, and you're listening to this on Friday, so you know if I'm one up or if I'm one down already. All right, what?
No, that's good.
Let's see. Black Tie, I'm going to leave it to you. How much time do I have? I want this to be fast.
10 seconds.
I can't do it in 10 seconds. That's
what?
Impossible.
That
Should I do the referee half court thing with the arm, the half arm motion?
Well, how about give me some music to give me a little music here to really help my pace. All right, ready? You call it out here, and I'm going to get through these picks real fast. We'll see how well I do. I'm going to shame the world. If they're listening right now, anybody listening right now, listen to how well Damashek does with his picks, and I'm going to do it probably about 10 times faster than it takes you to get yours done. Tell me when to start.
And begin.
Cincinnati at Cleveland Bengals. Indianapolis Colts at New York Jets. Jets. Rams at Dolphins. I have Dolphins. Raiders at Falcons. Falcons. Chiefs at Bucks. Yuck. Bucks. Lions at Eagles. Eagles. Goodbye, Lions. 2012 season. Cowboys at Ravens. The Cowboys go in there and upset them. Bills at the Cardinals. Yuck again. I say the Bills steal this one. Patriots at Seahawks. Patriots win big. Sorry, Seattle fans. Minnesota at Washington. I'm going Skins there. Giants at Niners. Niners are my pick. Packers at Texans. Packers need this one. Packers get this one. Lastly, Broncos at Chargers. Chargers win. Peyton 2-4. How long did that take me?
Took you a good 40 seconds. That was awful.
Why is that awful? Less than a minute?
Now let me go back and think about that. Which one concerned you the most there, Rank? Which of my picks that I just made do you disagree with? Do you think I was too rushed on? I think Cowboys Ravens is one that people would be surprised by.
Surprised about, but I feel, and you're usually, I'm going to say you're always spot on with the Ravens.
Almost always. Don't curse me. I'm not
that's
spot
the
on.
Thing.
Pretty good.
Like you always pick out when the Ravens are going to be good, when they're going to be bad. You seem to have a pretty good handle on them. So if you're picking the Cowboys to win, that's the game where I look at them like, maybe I should rethink that one.
I think it festers when you lose a game in ugly fashion and then you have 2 weeks until your next one. I think nationally I've certainly been spending time making fun of Tony Romo and saying, why does this guy continue to get the starting gig 7 years in? Mm-hmm. But the fact is, they're 2-2. That win against the Giants was terrific. Their other win came against Tampa Bay. It was underwhelming. So I'm not sure who this team is yet, but 2 weeks to get it right, they have to sense that in that tough division, they need to get the ball rolling here. And Baltimore, as good as they've been under Harbaugh since he got there, one thing you can say, the thing that generally keeps them from those 13-3 seasons is that they do swoon periodically. For a little while, they look terrible against Kansas City. In fact, they should have lost at the Chiefs last weekend. And I think the Cowboys, one week gets in there.
They always seem to struggle after a big win, and they were coming off the win over the bank. Wait, were they coming off the win off the Patriots, and then they struggled? Then they had a win. It always seems you look when they beat the Steelers.
No, they beat that. They went.
But when they
Patriots won Thursday Night Football against the Browns, they didn't look great that night. And so they haven't looked good really since that Patriots game, the Ravens, and all this talk about how great Joe Flacco is seems to have died down a little bit.
But it's always on at home. He looks great at home. He has 6 of his 7 touchdown passes of
coming
home.
Didn't look great against Cleveland.
Good enough.
I didn't think he was I thought he looked
I thought
like
he did. I think Cleveland's a little bit better than people are giving them credit for, and I feel, especially in division games, when the teams play each other so much that there's a lot of familiarity, that Joe Flacco, those games are going to be tough for Joe Flacco because these guys have so much tape on them. They know what he's good at, what he's bad at. So those division games are always closer. That's why the 49ers will lose to the Cardinals like they did last year, but you know they're blowing out teams from especially interconference.
Interesting. Well, I'll say this about the Ravens, and the same thing goes for the Steelers. Again, I'm not sure what happened to them on Thursday night because the game hasn't been played yet where we sit, even though we have that DeLorean. That's what we should have done. We should have watched the game and then come back and pretended like we already knew the outcome of that game. Either way, Steelers and Ravens both are brand name defenses. It doesn't mean that they're actually good in 2012. I think people hear, Tony Romo, he's already struggling. Now he's got to go play that Ravens defense. Hey, guess what? When Suggs ain't in there, it's not that good. Ray Lewis, the secret is out. He is way, way, way past his best years. Probably this year should be his last, if not next year. Ed Reed still makes the big plays, but he's not consistently great. So anyway, the brand name defense that is the Baltimore Ravens. I say the Cowboys get it. The two that concern me the most, though, Bills at Cardinals.
Right. Well, I mean,
how do you call that game? I don't believe in the Cardinals like you. They have no running backs anymore.
They never
Kevin
did.
Cobb is whatever.
Okay, it's not like Adrian Peterson went out for that team.
All right.
It was Ryan Williams.
But Kevin Cobb now must carry the load. That's
the game,
not good.
The reason that game scares me so much is because Buffalo.
How could you be scared of that game?
Of the Bills?
You care
it's
that
tough.
Much about Arizona? I told you, jump off. What did I tell you
Why?
Yesterday? Get off the Arizona nonsense. It's over. It was a nice start to the season.
You don't feel that way.
They're
you know
through.
What? I like to be a fan of a team. You know, we're not all born into the Steel City. And we get to root for the Steelers year in, year out. The thing is, though, is everybody's just assuming, and this probably bleeds into our fantasy analysis, too, is that everybody's like, oh, you look at the Bills, they've given up the most yards, they've given up the most fantasy points and all this stuff. And you're like, that to me is always recipe for going out and losing. The one thing I will say, though, and this is bad for the Bills, they got to fly across the country to play consecutive games, San Francisco and going to Arizona. Like, that doesn't seem fair, but, you know, it's a game that scares me. And I don't know if the Cardinals are going to tempt fate by wearing the black jerseys again. Maybe it gets them going. I feel if the Cardinals can move, if the Cardinals win this game, they improve to 5-1. I feel like they'll be getting close to a 9-7 year.
No, they're going 8-8 this season,
which is a good season for them.
All right. Well, if that's what excites you, all right. We have different standards for what's successful.
Yes, I'm assuming that
the other one is
Super Bowl.
Chiefs at Buccaneers. That's an ugly game. I think we know for certain that it's going to be Brady Quinn, right? Matt Castle has been absolutely ruled out there. A woeful Buccaneers team thus far. A very disappointing Chiefs team. That's a tough one. Hey, look who it is behind the glass there, walking into Studio 66 right now. Is that a skater kid? Oh,
yeah.
No, it's Matt Money Smith. What a hipster. The hippest guy in all of NFL Fantasy Live. Is that fair to say?
Easily.
Matt Money Smith's
the
coolest the guy?
Oh, yeah. That's the one, like, now I get a lot of people who are impressed that I know you and I hang out with you so much.
I'm not surprised to hear
that. I would say most of the time.
I'm surprised that I hang out with you, too.
I got a text yesterday.
What's happened
like,
to my career?
Hey, man, do you work with Matt Money Smith?
That's just not true.
To which I sent my friend a text back, and I said, well, first of all, thanks for watching NFL Fantasy Live because I appreciate that. But of course. Of course.
You know what's funny is that Matt Money Smith has been charged on Twitter, to my Twitter account. People have asked, have made this charge against him. And it's ironic given his voice versus my voice is, I hear a lot of, Shaq, why do you talk in that fake voice all the time? Like, yes, this is the voice I've chosen to use on the radio. This is my actual voice. This is how I actually sound. But I think it's more entertaining to be a nasally annoying creep. Matt Money Smith, same thing. Matt Money Smith, that's not his real voice. Yes, he's really committed to this character he's playing.
Kids, you can have these pipes if you start smoking Benson and Hedges 100s at 13, and that's God's honest truth story. 13 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, we were smoking, and you grew up in the Midwest. It's just the way things work. You know, you try to sip the booze, and you smoke the cigarettes, and because it's cold out. You're in your basement. What the hell are you going to do? Somebody's parents smoke, so you sneak one of the lung darts and see how it tastes. And we couldn't buy the Marlboro Lights or the Camel Lights. They wouldn't sell them to us. So at 13.
Too strong?
Well, no, it was just they knew they were for us, you know, because that was the kid brand. So I came up with this idea. My old man smoked Marlboro Red. So I came up with this idea. Well, why don't we just ask for one of these, you know, crappy brands that we see old men smoking? Mm-hmm. And we'll say, hey, look, sir, please sell these to me. If I don't bring them home, my old man's going to beat the hell out of me, you know?
Right.
And you guilt them into it. And so Benson and Hedges was just that one brand that I pulled out of my rear, and that became our brand of
choice. Pall Mall would have worked, too, I think.
Yeah, Pall Mall, Kools, like any of those
Kools
brands.
It's kind of like 25th Hour. It's kind of like in 25th Hour that Ed Norton's friends give him a good beating.
Yeah.
Once every 3 months or so, you had Matt Money Smith had one of his friends punch him in the eye so he had a black eye to sell to the guy. Like, see, I didn't bring him home last week. You got to give him to me.
Yeah, so there you go. That's where the pipes came from. Smoking at 13.
All right, so Matt Money Smith from one of the great sports radio shows in all the land, and it can be heard pretty much across the land on Fox Sports with the great Petros Papadakis. Listen for that. You want to plug that in any way or just say,
sure,
figure it out.
FoxSportsRadio.com. There you go.
And then also with Bucky Brooks, the Draft Tracker podcast, which you're going to be doing momentarily here in Studio 66. Make yourself at home, please, Matt Money Smith.
All right, I'll hang out.
Quickly now. Oh, and we've got your pal Matt Forte coming up and a few other things, but let's get to those Twitter questions real quick here, Rank. What's your favorite? What's been sent over by the Czech Republic / Rank Amateurs for us?
Sarah Peters at Indy Sarah, she asked, which superhero impresses the uniform monitor the most?
Wow. Superhero uniform. Maybe I have been influenced by The Incredibles. Remember the great story about why you can't wear capes? I kind of don't love capes. Batman, is that too easy a choice to make? Worst one, Aquaman. That looks like an outfit that his mom made for him. Like, I got to have an outfit to be a superhero. And she's like, I stitched this together. That cheesy green, orange scaly shirt. Lame.
Is that part of his?
You know, because I was so poor as a child, I had Aquaman underoos because they were always on discount. So all the other kids in the neighborhood at the sleepover would have Batman and Superman, and I'd roll out my Aquaman.
You poor thing.
I know.
Aquaman,
I felt like less
that
of a man.
But
so I became a fan of Aquaman because of my underoos at the age of 6. And all my friends are like, Aquaman? And I was like, yeah, I mean, Aquaman's the coolest, isn't he?
He's cool now. During the reboot, Geoff Johns took over that comic book, and they really made a concerted effort to make him more cool.
If I had to walk down the street and I wouldn't want to be in a unitard like Flash, you know, the Flash. That's just what I think in real terms you would look awfully weird. I'm going to go Iron Man.
Yeah, I was going to say it has to be Iron Man because of the suit.
Or Daredevil. I don't know why that one seems kind of cool. Iron Man's
but then you're
cool.
Blind.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah,
take
that.
I mean, yeah.
Matt Money Smith, you have a vote.
Well, I'm not a communist, so I'm going Captain America. You filthy communist.
That's right.
Over there.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield,
yep. I mean, come on.
All those who chose to oppose the shield must yield. Continue, Rank. Next question.
We will take one from Josh. How do you feel about ketchup and mayo on a burger?
I don't like mayo on anything, period. Mayo is one of the one. It is. Dave will put almost anything in his belly, but one of my two or three kryptonites food-wise is mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. No, and no. I have no compunction, however, about putting ketchup on a hot dog.
Now, oh, my God.
There
you
are
communist.
A lot of people
you
get crazy.
Communist. Ask Dirty Harry. Ask Dirty Harry.
I know the stories.
How
I've heard.
How dare you? What are you, a small child? Ketchup on a hot dog?
Why is that so out of bounds?
I
will
get crazy. Sweet sauce. Oh, it's a sweet sauce.
I will back you up on a lot of things, and I will let a lot of the little quirks you have go, but I will not play ball with ketchup
on a hot dog. That's a deal breaker. Mustard and onions. And you come from a great blue-collar city like Pittsburgh.
They make delicious hot dogs in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you know what? Well, that's
too.
What it is. You know what? As a matter of fact, today, October 11th, I'd like to point out, the 168th birthday of H.J. Heinz, the founder of the Heinz Company.
Wow.
I like that.
I have said it before. I will say it again now. Matt Money Smith, a renaissance man. In the, he knows more. You debunk what is the one line I know from that I always remember from Great Gatsby is Nick Carraway, the narrator of the novel, the greatest American book ever written, perhaps, or of the three greatest American novels that Dave Damaschik's read. It was my favorite one. The most limited of all specialists, the well-rounded man. That's how Carraway describes himself. Matt Money Smith, though, a well-rounded man. It seems like you can speak on almost any subject, including Heinz. Heinz's birthday.
I feel that's going to be the dead guy birthday of the day, right?
It is going to be the day. But it is every year. I treat October 11th as a holiday.
Favorite condiment, Matt Money Smith.
Well, no, this is we got actually the ultimate male, Thunder Lips, ask, what is the best cheese for a burger, if we want to say this?
Cheddar. Although, well, you know what? Crumbled blue is delicious on a burger. But it does limit your options otherwise. Like if you go blue, then you really can't then spread your wings with some of the other condiments. Pepper jack.
Love the pepper jack.
It's a nice choice.
Yeah.
I'm pretty traditional, I guess, in that regard.
And I like brown mustard, to finish your thought there, favorite condiment.
That's very nice.
Brown,
nice.
That deli mustard.
We got to do a whole show. We've talked about doing it. We really do have to do a sandwich special show with Matt Money Smith at some point soon. All right, you got another one? I thought we were going down a path there, and I can't remember where we were going, so proceed with the next question.
Craig Dodge, best breakfast cereal.
Everybody likes to talk about food. Is this what happened?
What the podcast has come to?
My parents made their love all these years ago to have a grown man take field questions about this sort of thing.
You're an expert.
I guess
so. I mean, these people view you as an expert.
Repeat the question.
Best breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
Mini Wheats?
Ooh.
Is that lame? You know what I like?
Mini Wheats.
I'm not with
that. I don't like the name of it, but Smart Start. It's got that sweet
Because we're all about the same age, I'd love your opinion on this. I submit a breakfast cereal that is no longer produced. Apple Raisin Crisp.
I don't like raisins.
See, it dominated my childhood disappeared. I asked my older brother if we should write a strongly worded letter to the Kellogg's company once they decided to pull it off the shelf.
Answer, yes.
And yeah, we did. And we got a case of like Honey O's or something like that. I'm not kidding. Sent to the old Smith house.
Wow. Excellent. Growing up, I think my favorite one was, I really like Boo Berry.
Oh, yeah.
Blueberry was my favorite.
Best of the monsters.
The monster cereals.
Best of the monsters.
And the hardest one to get, ironically. Count Chocula was easy to get.
Frankenberry.
Yeah. Frankenberry, easy to get. You have to look a little bit for the Boo. But I like that.
Is it wrong to say Lucky Charms is a little offensive?
Lucky Charms isn't good. It's
all
about
those mushrooms.
It's offensive
to Irish people.
No, I'm Irish. It does not offend me.
I'm very proud of it.
Very proud. If it's not for Lucky Charms,
Irish and I'm offended.
Really?
All right. Step in line.
It's better than drinking and fighting.
Unfortunately.
That's what we're known for. Drinking, fighting, cutting soap.
So much meat on this. So much meat on this bone, and sadly we have to shut it down now so Matt Money Smith can do his precious Draft Tracker podcast, presumably available on iTunes. So we'll turn it over to him quickly, though. First, let's hear a conversation with Chicago Bears running back Matt Forte. All right, Rank, here he is, one of the great running backs in reality and in fantasy from the Chicago Bears, the first place Chicago Bears at that, enjoying their bye week. It's Matt Forte. How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I can't complain. What are you doing with your bye week here?
Right now I'm at Tilden High School over in the south side of Chicago doing the Duracell Test Your Power event.
Oh, yes. We're familiar. We love Duracell. Talk about Duracell. We just are pleased to announce that Rank and I, our little segment we do here called Check to the Future, is now sponsored by Duracell. So we're thrilled. What are you doing with Duracell?
I'm here doing the Trust Your Power event. It's about, you know, trusting yourself to power through anything. And basically, I came and we donated some football equipment to the team, some Texas Instrument calculators, a defibrillator, and some Duracell batteries for the kids. You know, they don't have a lot. And the football team only has, you know, 15 kids on there, so they got to play, you know, both ways. It's kind of tough on them. So just to inspire them a little bit and, you know, help them out.
That's nice. Good work.
15 guys. That's Iron Man football there. Yeah.
That's kind of like in Revenge of the Nerds. Remember the movie Revenge of the Nerds, Adams College? That team, they talk about how they're a top 10 team, but when you see them out on the field, they're only like 15 or 20 of those guys. You ever see Revenge of the Nerds, Matt Forte?
Yeah, I've seen that plenty of times.
What is your favorite movie?
Favorite movie probably is Predator.
Predator?
Yeah.
Oh,
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, well, you don't have to tell me who was in that one. You know who else is in that one? Apollo Creed. He has my favorite. Remember when he walks up, when Schwarzenegger walks up to Apollo Creed and they do the, they give the hand clasp up high and he says, Dylan, I see the CIA has you pushing too many pencils.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So you're big. It is. Well, I mean, and then later, sadly, Apollo Creed has that same arm chopped off by the Predator, but it keeps on shooting the machine gun.
Yeah, and screaming.
that's right. Yeah, he is screaming the whole way.
How about a spoiler alert there? What if somebody hasn't seen Predator yet?
Yeah, that was unfair.
If they haven't seen it yet, they don't deserve to watch it.
All right, Matt Forte, let's talk about your high-flying Chicago Bears. And let's start with, I obviously want to talk about you continuing running the ball so great. But the guy, you know, they say it's a quarterback league. So let's start there. Jay Cutler, it seems like there's always a lot of talk around this guy, even though, like I say, first place team and everything else. And I think it has to do with the outward look that he has for the world. He seems disengaged. He seems to be down in the dumps is, I guess, a good way to put it. Talk about what Jay Cutler's like to be around in the locker room and down on the field.
He's great to be around. I mean, he gets too much. You know, people analyze what he does and his body English and all that stuff. They just analyze it too much and kind of blow it up. You know, I mean, if you put a camera on me for 24 hours a day and see some of the faces I make, you'd probably be like, oh, man, he's down in dumps and all this stuff, you know, sometimes. But, you know, he just gets a lot of scrutiny from the media and, you know, everybody else, they just kind of fall into it and believe the hype, I guess. But he's an awesome teammate to be around. I mean, when we're playing and, you know, he's got to get guys going, he's going to, you know, be a leader and talk to them. And then we're playing well, he's going to make sure we stay on top of it. You know, he's the leader of the offense and, you know, we trust him and we stand behind him.
How about off the field? Is he fun to hang? Like, would you guys kick back and watch Predator together? Do you think he would enjoy that film?
Yeah, me, him, and Brandon hang out a lot, you know, especially when I came into camp. I wasn't there during the whole entire offseason, so when we got into camp, me, him, and Brandon would hang out and, you know, do stuff. There wasn't anywhere else to go. We were in dorms, so, you know, it was pretty fun hanging out and playing games and stuff.
Tell me something. You guys are now, I don't think it's necessarily a surprise that your team is off to a nice 4-1 start and sits in first place. The Vikings, though, certainly are. I thought that this was going to be maybe the worst team in football, the Vikes. And you both are looking down two games up on the Green Bay Packers and 2.5 games up on the Detroit Lions. Are you guys talking about that? Is that something that goes on in the locker room, looking at the standings at this point in the year and sort of saying, wow, we got a real shot at getting not just winning the division, but getting one of those top two seeds, or is it too soon for that?
No, we're always every weekend looking at the teams that's in our division, you know, all the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, and looking at what they do. And, the Vikings have definitely improved since the last couple of years, and, you know, they're going to be another team to watch. You know, our division has three, you know, I mean, including us, so four teams. That's, you know, pretty tough, you know, defenses and offenses to play against. So it's going to be, you know, probably at least two teams in this division that go to the playoffs. So it's a tough division to play in. I guess that's why they call it the black and blue division, though.
Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of that, what do you think about? I've said this. I've talked to Vikings. I've talked to Lions. We talked to Cliff Averill and Percy Harvin recently. And I said the same thing to them. What do you think? Every team in the NFC North should have to play outside. There should be no domes in that division. How say you?
I don't know. I think it's a pretty break from, you know, playing at Soldier Field. So when we, you know, get a chance to play in the dome somewhere, whether it's in Detroit or Minnesota, it's a pretty good break for us.
What's going on?
Like playing outside constantly.
I don't get it with you. That's the same answer that Harvin and Averill gave to that question.
Yeah.
Why?
Hey, you. You probably, I don't know, have you ever played outside in the freezing cold weather?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have, because we used to play a turkey bowl in my backyard every Thanksgiving, yeah. So I know what it's like.
Yeah, in your backyard, though. I'm talking about NFL football.
No, have I played NFL football? No, my mother wouldn't let me play football in pads, but I would be in the NFL. I will say this to you. I don't think it's – I think it's a bad statement, and I hope Commissioner Goodell's listening right now, that Dave Damashek is tougher, apparently, than than players in the NFL – in the NFC North. They want to play inside rank. They want to be indoors. Damashek wants to be out in the elements, you see. A home field advantage come January. That's what Forte and company are playing for. Matt, let me ask you about this. You guys are there was a lot of talk going into the season, obviously, your contract situation and so on. In the meantime – the Bears go out and get Michael Bush, and whether or not that was going to affect the number of carries and whether or not you were happy with that and cool with that. Right now, at the quarter pole in the Bears season, 58 carries for Matt Forte, 58 carries for Michael Bush. How does that sit with you? Are you happy with
I'm fine. I mean, the only reason it's like that is because I had to sit out an entire game.
True,
and,
yeah.
I got injured in the Packers game. And didn't get to play basically the rest of the second half, and had to sit out the Rams game. So that's the way it looks like that. But, you know, the way we do it is, you know, I get the ball and I get to play as much as I want. You know, if I get tired or if I get an injury or something, then I come out and Mike comes in. So there's no bad feud there or anything like that in the running back room.
All right, Matt Forte, we appreciate the time there, and continued success to you personally as well as to the Chicago Bears as you make your charge. Enjoy your bye week, fella, and then we'll look forward to watching you on Monday Night Football when you host those Detroit Lions. Go get them, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes.
Thanks,
the
Matt.
Great Matt Forte. You'll listen to Dave Damashek. All right, next up, as promised, we have Golden Tate from NFL Fantasy Live. Our conversation with him earlier this morning. Take a listen. Adam Rank, look at who it is. It's the Golden Domer himself having a gangbusters 2012 in Seattle. It's Golden Tate. How are you, man? Everything's coming up golden this year between the Fighting Irish and Seattle.
Good. I'm good. Just getting ready for another week. Like you said, the Irish are lighting it up, so that's been exciting to watch.
Yeah, it's been exciting. Don't get too excited, though. I don't think undefeated is how this one's going to end. Let's talk about your pro team, Seattle, and let's lead with the lead story, not just in Seattle, but in the NFC West. What do you make of these defenses? Did everybody not get the memo about this being a quarterback league in that division?
Yeah, you know, defensively, I think all the teams in our conference, our division, are good. We have some great defenses. Also, we got some really good offenses, so, yeah.
Well, but I'm a little bit concerned, though, because it depresses fantasy value. Let's talk about fantasy, because you are a fantasy owner yourself. How's Golden Tate doing for Golden Tate this year?
I haven't used myself as much as I wanted, but I'm sticking with what's been working. I'm 4-1 right now with the lineup I have, so I've just been sticking with that so far.
Wait a minute. So you have yourself, but you're not playing. I just picked you up on the waiver wire in like three leagues. I'm trying to start you this week. Is that a good move?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think I actually might throw myself in there also.
Yeah, don't make me try to convince you, but you got to start yourself against the Patriots. That's a pretty good matchup. I think you can do very well against them.
I think so, too. And that's why I'm going to make that game time decision and probably throw myself in there.
I want you to announce it now. Are you ready to say that Golden Tate is going to be playing for Golden Tate this weekend?
All right. I'm going to be playing for myself this weekend.
This is a little bit of a therapy session, I feel like, because I want Golden to have enough confidence to place himself.
Right.
Who are the options that you've got ahead of yourself and you're on your own fantasy team?
I've got Stevie Johnson.
Okay.
I've got I'm going to go ahead and bench Tom Brady this week because I don't expect him to do too well against us.
I like that move.
That's a move you must make.
Smart
yes.
move.
I also have Marshawn. I have Frank Gore. I have Lance Moore. I have Brandon Marshall. Myself, Doug Baldwin. So we got a pretty good team here going.
Well, you're sitting Tom Brady. Is Russell Wilson then being inserted as your quarterback?
I've been Ben Roethlisberger. So.
Not too bad.
Thursday, yeah, start him tonight on Thursday night. I don't mind saying either. Stevie Johnson, bench him. Put yourself in there. I'm making that same. I'm not kidding you. I have that exact same scenario on playing him. But your matchup this week, if we have Marshawn Lynch, I got him on a team. Is he a good play against the Patriots?
Yeah, I think Marshawn Lynch is a good play against any any team. You know, I'm expecting him to come ready to play as he's been doing the last few years he's played with us. So I'm expecting big things, big number, big points out of Marshawn this week.
Is the game plan going to be more run heavy this week against the Patriots?
You know, we're going to continue to do what we do. We're obviously a running team. We're going to keep trying to execute our plays, and we're also going to throw the ball. So, you know, we've been watching film so far. They have some good players, and we got some plays designed to be big for us.
All right, Golden, best wishes against that Patriots defense. Play yourself, not just this week, but for the rest of the season. It sends the right message to the team, to the fans, and beyond. And thanks for the time, Golden.
Absolutely, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good luck to the Fighting Irish as well.
Nice fella. I worry about his self-esteem, though, Rank. The guy doesn't play himself in fantasy.
I like the realist. It's like if I was doing a comedy fantasy league, I would start Louis C.K. over myself. I'd feel comfortable. I like when they know their limitations.
Human beings all would do that, but if you're yourself, if you're playing the sport, you must not only do you draft yourself.
He knows.
Damashek's an NFLer. Damashek in his fantasy draft isn't just being drafted. He's drafted first.
He's the one in the meetings. He's the one in the meetings. He knows what's going down.
All right. So, and good stuff from Tate there. Lastly, as we do at the end of every episode, we honor the player who wore the episode number best. We're on number 98, Rank, our second to last, our penultimate naming of an athlete in number 98. Who wore it best in sports history?
Was Jerome Simpson number 98?
What have you been doing with yourself? You can't look that up? Black tie. Chop, chop, fella. Who's number 98? Who do we got on wearing the number 98 in sports
history? I'm sorry, I was thinking Jerome Brown. Now, Jerome Brown.
Ricky Hundley?
What number did Jerome
Ricky
Brown
Hundley,
wear?
The big, the almost, you know, he had sort of a pot belly as a linebacker, if memory serves, with the Falcons. No 98s, Rake.
Man, I'm trying to think. This is a stump.
Yeah. Geico's own Brown and Rockwell?
Brian Arakpo.
Right.
What a sad thing. We're just about done here, and we don't have a 98 ready to go here. I apologize to you, the listener. All right, let's get out of here then, Rank. Unless you can quickly shout out a 98, I'll wrap things up here and turn things over to our new segment, our pals from around the league, Dan Hanzus and Pretty and Mr. Fancy Pants, Mark Sessler, coming at you with their 10-minute ATL debate club. Entertaining stuff. Make sure you stick around for that. See if you agree with Mrs. Sessler about Dan Hanzus having a wonderful voice for radio. Her one and only comment about her husband's show was to compliment the other guy. All right, enjoy that. We'll talk to you on the other side of week 6. Back for more Huey and Applesauce then. In the meantime, though, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Thank you, Dave Damashek. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the League Debate Club. I'm joined here, as always, by my partner, Dan Hanzus.
That's me, and you are?
I'm Mark Sessler.
I knew you looked familiar. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going today?
You know, it's going okay. Yeah.
So we watched, let's get right into it. We watched Thursday Night Football together last night, and a very interesting game. The Steelers, weird things seem to happen on Thursday Night Football, don't they?
Yeah, it's been a weird trait that started to build up here where things that you expect to happen don't, and you have to wonder how that plays into what's going on Thursday. I mean, are these teams prepared for these games? Because you're not seeing what you expect, you know, week by week.
It definitely seems to be a dynamic where the home team has a lot going on. They're definitely walking in with a little more energy, and we saw that last night. I mean, Tennessee really was – their season was on the brink, I thought, very early here in the year. And it was a big win for their coach, I thought, Mike Munchak, to knock off the Steelers. I mean, he said as much after. Really, it got them off the schneid a little bit. And Munchak himself, I mean, we talked about him as a coach, I think, this week that – you know, you did a piece, which was interesting, about coaches on the warm seat.
Right, on the ATL blog, which – you and I write for, as well as Greg Rosenthal, our editor, and Kareem Copeland. I did a post called Warming Seat. I didn't want to go hot seat because I feel like, you know, it's a little
premature.
You know, but it's getting warm. It's a warming seat. So I called it the warming seat, and I did get some feedback on Twitter, you know, largely negative, people wanting to destroy me. And Titans fans that were upset that Munchak wasn't involved with that list because, you know, he's a guy that they were getting blown out by 25 points every week on average. My list, just, you know, just for fun of it, I had Pat Shurmur, your boy in Cleveland at one, followed by Chan Gailey in Buffalo, Jason Garrett in Dallas at three, Norv Turner, San Diego at four, and then Rex Ryan at five as the guy that, you know, the sleeper warming seat if everything falls apart for the Jets, which is...
Your disaster pick.
Yeah. It's a personal pick as a disaster that would hurt me horribly, and also I think it's realistic that that team could fall apart. But with Munchak, I mean, you have... Here's the guy. The guy on Twitter comes at me and he says, you know, how is Munchak not on this list? My Titans are, you know, just getting destroyed every week. And he kind of, it clicked with me because they have an owner that's not a young guy. You know, he showed it when he kind of made that desperate bid to get Manning and it didn't work out. And he was like, you know, I'm not going to be around forever. I don't know if he said that exactly.
Well, that was the subtext.
Subtext. I don't want to directly quote the guy incorrectly anyway. But, yeah, I mean, if they go 5-11 or 4-12 and they're not competitive, Munchak's gone. But that win yesterday gives him a little breathing room, I would think, right?
Yeah, I think I think it puts them back in that sort of bland, mediocre territory in the AFC.
Which everyone aspires to be in life, just bland and mediocre.
No, I mean, listen, it's safe territory.
Yeah, that's kind of you and I. That's our cottage industry.
It's a place to be.
Which is why we're given a podcast because, oh, you know, they're very boring people and, you know, people will be magnetized towards them.
That's the game plan. You know,
that doesn't make sense.
Not at all. You called Shurmur my boy. I'm not sure I can jump on that train.
I could see you in the corner of a bar with, you know, six PBRs deep with Pat Shurmur just trying to figure out where it all went wrong.
Yeah, that could be us in probably 4 months. You know, maybe by Valentine's Day because things, well, number one,
you're going to be in a bar with Pat Shurmur on Valentine's Day?
I'm not painting that picture necessarily, but it's potential.
Area man in bar with disposed head coach.
You know, Shurmur probably would be in a hijack kidnapping situation if I were actually somewhere with him in a tavern.
Bromance in the making.
Thank you. That's our producer, Bryce, piping in with his take on the situation.
Potential and, bromance. That's interesting.
Well, listen, I mean, Shurmur, let's just say this. That's got to top my list. Technically, they have a new owner coming in. Beyond that, his record is a disaster.
Right.
I mean, he's, what, 4-17? He started out 3-3, meaning he is 1-14 since. And the team isn't actually showing some signs of life. But they've got a new owner coming in who wants to make a splash. And I'm going to pipe off to the next guy I think will be with a new team next year is Andy Reid.
Oh, okay. That's fair. And so I'm figuring that means Andy Reid's Eagles are going to go down this year, you're saying?
I don't think they're going to do enough. I mean, I think that team needs to go to the Super Bowl for Reid to stick around, maybe by his own choice, to be honest.
Well, Reid is obviously the coach of an NFC team, but I do – one thing I want to get back to is the AFC, which is a very strange conference right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that six playoff spots, the Patriots, the Texans, and the Ravens all in good position right now.
Certainly.
And then you got three more spots, okay? So let me ask you this. Let's call it a death pool, all right? Who's dead right now? Because I'm going to give you a list of teams that I came up with because I do research ahead of these podcasts, unlike you.
You are a student.
You're a mail-it-in type guy, famously. But I have this scrap piece of paper that's in terrible condition. Let's see. You ready? Dead or alive? But these are dead to me, but you can jump in at any point.
Okay.
The Cleveland Browns.
We're talking about this is a playoff team, dead.
Yeah, they're 6 feet underground,
dead.
Metaphorically. Okay. Buffalo Bills.
Alive.
Oh, come on. Jacksonville Jaguars.
Dead.
Tennessee Titans.
Alive.
Oakland Raiders.
Dead.
And Kansas City Chiefs.
Alive.
Why?
Barely living.
Okay.
Brady Quinn is their quarterback.
Listen. Strange things happen in the National Football League. I'm only saying they're not dead. I'm not saying necessarily this is a surging team with playoff potential. They
aren't. Life support.
Life support.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's my list. Is there anybody on your end that you think is dead?
Well, I mean, I can't add to that list because I think you nailed it. But it's, you know, listen, it is early in the year, and like it's hard.
You think I nailed it, but you had like half of them. You said I was wrong.
Well, I don't think you missed anyone.
Joik.
I think you maybe expanded the boundary line a little bit. For me, I would say the Browns and the Jaguars are the only two teams right now that I would say absolutely have no chance of coming back, because the Chiefs do have talent. But they've not shown that, and they've been sort of a disaster. A team like the Titans, I mean, listen, they just beat the Steelers like 12 hours ago. I can't knock
them out
of this.
That's fair. And I know if you have two wins at this stage, you're not technically dead. You're right in the mix of things if you had a couple good weeks in a row. But some of these teams, and the Titans, even coming off a win over the Steelers team that might not be that good.
Fair enough.
But at the same time, you know, I still remember they've had large stretches of just complete ineffectiveness. And I, you know, the same goes for like the Buffalo Bills, another two-win team that also has had some really hard losses. I really think sometimes those really bad losses, and you could even throw my Jets in there as well,
yeah,
as a team that has two wins, but at the same time, you know, some of those losses really show you there's something up with these teams.
You know, the Bills, for instance, they showed some moments of electricity early in the season, but their defense, you know, the thing that we went into the year saying this rebuilt Buffalo defense is going to be something to watch, it's been terrible. I mean, record-setting bad.
You and I, you know, on the Around the League blog, produce such an amount of content every week that during the preseason and during the offseason, you know, we touch on themes several times, you know, in a nuanced way. But the Buffalo Bills defensive line was one that I feel like we wrote, you know, 17,000 stories about.
Of
how
course.
You had Mario Williams, who they gave $100 million to, Mark Anderson, who was supposed to bring more pressure from the edge, Kyle Williams, who was healthy and was a guy that said, if this guy gets back, this is going to be a scary defensive unit. And instead, you know, what happened to them? It's hard to really put it together how a team can fall on its face, and I think there's going to be big changes there. Now, one team we didn't mention that is on the death list, surprisingly, I would say, is the Indianapolis Colts. I think we're both in agreement that team has the potential to win 8 games or more at this point, and a lot of that goes back to Andrew Luck. Let me ask you a question about the rookie quarterbacks now.
Okay.
If you had an expansion franchise, and first of all, what would be the name of your expansion franchise?
I would call it the Los Angeles Student Body.
Hmm. What would the logo be?
It would be students and at desks. A giant logo of an entire classroom of students at desks.
That's a marketing bonanza.
That's just awful. I'm sorry.
That's intimidating.
Let's work on that. But okay, so you got the LA Student Body has the first overall pick. You are the general manager. Of this,
we've moved so far into fantasy land.
Yeah, this bizarre franchise that's going to struggle to sell any merchandise. But who are you taking? Let's say this franchise had the first pick in 2012. Who are you starting your franchise with? I would assume it's going to be one of the two big quarterbacks, Luck and RG3. But knowing what we have now, and then jumping back into the past,
sure,
who would you take?
We're talking quarterback.
Well, you could take anybody. You could take Brandon Whedon if you wanted to. I wouldn't suggest it, but you could. Who would you take?
I have that freedom. I'm gonna go with Andrew Luck. It's very hard for me because I think RG3 has been anything anyone asked for, but Luck to me, he's been so comfortable in the pocket. I feel like he's a player that he's just come out completely delivered, you know, not even just statistically, but just as a leader, as someone out there on the field that seems to get it right off the bat. And he was the number one pick. I don't think he's disappointed on any level. So, you know, for me, he's a franchise anchoring quarterback.
And I think the Colts made the right move. He was the perfect fit for what they were doing. But for the LA student body, you can build the team however you want. I would think if I was in your position, and first thing I do is I would change the team name and then fire the guy who was responsible for that. But then I would.
This is my team.
Right. Somebody's got to step in, though. And that would be me, and I would, you know, fire you. It'd be awkward. But I would take Robert Griffin III. And that's because Luck, again, this is like one of those things where you can't go wrong either way. But RG3 has lived up to the hype as being this guy that is kind of a evolutionary type talent, you know?
Yeah.
He's the type of guy that He can throw the ball. He can run. He's proved he's a leader. He gives weird press conferences, and I like that. He says strange things. I'm not happy about what happened this past Sunday with the concussion. I mean, that's something he's going to learn from. But even the things that he said the last couple of days is that, you know, he knows he has to play smarter. And
right.
as long as he, you know, that concussion was kind of a wake-up call to him, I'm completely still excited about what he brings. So,
by the way, I don't think, barring you taking over the team, there's a better fit for the LA student body than the Stanford Cardinal architecture major.
Thank you, Bryce.
Bryce.
The LA student body. Admit that it's growing on you.
It's stupid.
A giant logo of an entire classroom of people with books.
It's so stupid. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, well, let's maybe we move on.
I can't get past this. I think we should end the podcast
now. Marketing gold.
Let's end the podcast now. I'm so upset right now about this.
Dan, it's been fun. We're going to come back here a week from now, break into the studio once again.
We are, and I'll get over the student body thing. And I will say this, that everyone out there should read the ATL blog. And thanks again to Dave Damashek of the Dave Damashek football program for involving us in his game.
A mensch.
He's a mensch. He's not listening to this.
No.
Even now it's tacked on to the end of his podcast, you would think he would listen.
No, he's pressed stopped 13, 14 minutes ago. He pressed stopped on his little
right.
iTunes.
He's throwing it to us and then he's clicking stop and shutting down his laptop.
That's life. You know, listen, hey, we're amateurs compared to Mr.
Yeah,
Dave Damashek.
No, we bow down to Dave. He's a great guy, and he's been very good to us. So until next week, this is Dan Hansa signing off.
Mark Sessler.
ATL Debate Club. We'll see you again.